I appreciate Langston sharing the text for our lesson this morning from Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. It's a great text. We are God's handiwork, it says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We've been created to do good works. And I think about that quite a bit, you know, and I know you do too. I know many of you are involved in doing good works all throughout the week and many times as part of your work here at the church. There's so much to be done. There's lots of lives to be blessed. And I wonder, how do you think of yourself when you're doing those things? Do you think of yourself as a volunteer? I know, you know, I've volunteered for various things over the years, been recruited, volunteered, or asked to be a volunteer in various organizations and so on, in addition to church. And there are certain expectations you have when you're asked to be a volunteer and you say you will be. You expect to be thanked. You expect to be celebrated. I can't tell you, you know, we used to host volunteer luncheons for all the church, all the people at church that volunteer. I've been in things where been a part of a volunteer where they fed us at a nice restaurant or whatever because we were volunteering. Or maybe you get your name on a plaque somewhere, or, you know, some other kind of recognition for being a volunteer. Is that what we are when we serve the Lord at church? We volunteers. You ever thought of that? Because, you know, of course, the New Testament word is usually servant. We've been asked to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And I think it's interesting that Paul identified himself in Philippians 1:1 and Timothy with him, just as a servant, but as a slave for Jesus. That's kind of a different mindset than the mindset of volunteering, isn't it? I remember when I was an education director at a church, my first job out of college, I was youth minister slash education director, and had to recruit all these teachers. It was a large church, so I had a bunch of teachers I needed to recruit to work in the children's ministry there and in Bible class program there. And I didn't know how to do it. And I hated asking for people to do things. And I kind of had to struggle with it, you know, because so many times you ask someone to do things, it's you asking them and they're doing it for you, and that's just not right. So I finally decided, you know, that's not my job, to ask people to teach these classes and do the other things for the church, to volunteer for those things. That's not my job. My job is to ask them, what is God calling you to do? What is Jesus calling you to do? Because it's an opportunity when you see yourself as a servant, or even as Paul said, a slave, then, you know, you're not doing it for whoever. You know, you're not doing it for Rachel. You're not doing it for the elders. You're not doing it for anyone other than yourself and your own devotion to Jesus. You're serving Jesus. And that's what we need, is servants of Christ. What do you think about when you hear that you've been created to do good works? I think some Christians think of good deeds, I think, as a way to buy favor with God. I do all this good stuff, and God's going to bless me because I do all this good stuff. I realize anytime we talk about good deeds or works, there's a danger that people will understand us to be saying that we must earn our acceptance with God, and that we do that by doing things for God, and that earns our place with God. We can get to heaven, we think, by earning our place with God. You know, you get it the old-fashioned way, you know. You earn it. But the Bible teaches us that good deeds are not a way to earn favor from God, but rather they're a way to show our gratitude for God for what he's already done for us in Jesus. Not a way to gain acceptance with him. Serving God's a result of our salvation, not the cause of our salvation. That's exactly what Paul says to Titus in Titus 3, verse 1. He says, be ready to do whatever is good. Be ready to do that. Why? The passage ends with these words in verse 8, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. And then notice what's sandwiched between those two admonitions to do good works. And that's a restatement of the fact that we're saved not by those works that we've done, but in chapter 3 of Titus, verse 4 and 5, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. We're saved by his mercy. And because we've been saved by his mercy, we want to be like him. We want to bring honor to him. We want to celebrate our relationship with him. We do that by doing good things. We're people who belong to Jesus. He's been so good to us. Verse 14 of chapter 2 of Titus says, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. When we belong to Jesus, we're eager to do what's good because we love Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be close to Jesus. And Jesus was so good. He was so good to us. He was so good to everyone. And if we want to be close to him, we want to know what life is as a follower of Jesus. We want to do good. We want to do good to everyone. We're eager, Paul says, to do what is good. And so in verse 8 of chapter 3, it says, these things are excellent and profitable to everyone. You know, everyone is profited when our lives reflect the goodness of Jesus by doing what is good. Even God is profited. We do good deeds in order to let God work through us to accomplish his purpose, and it honors him. It's worship when we do these good deeds because we love him. We want to be close to him. Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 13, God works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. God has a good purpose. He's got a good plan. And he's working in us to will and to act in the same way. So, famous declaration, we're saved by grace. It was read to a moment ago in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Paul says we're saved by grace, not of works. And then concludes, he says in verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When we became Christians, it's like we were created all over again. We were created in Jesus all over again, and the stain of sin has been cleansed from our souls in the waters of baptism, and now we truly reflect the workmanship of God himself, the handiwork of God. Isn't that amazing to think about, that you are God's handiwork? That's incredible honor to be known as the handiwork of God. So it's only natural that we would now be involved in the same good works that God does, that Jesus does. And he has good works just waiting for us to get busy on. Work that we've been recreated to do, work that accomplishes God's will, and work that fills us up, that enriches our lives. You want a full life, you want an abundant life, the Bible says, then be involved in these kinds of works. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And the truth is, there are few things more satisfying than doing meaningful work. My uncles kind of have a running joke with each other on the family email list. They will brag to each other, I've been involved in meaningful work today, and they'll send pictures of it. And it'll be things like mowing the back 40, repairing fence, you know, working with cattle, whatever they call it. That's meaningful work. They were raised that way. But what is meaningful work for you? There's no more meaningful work than work that blesses other people, that helps people that need the help, that honors them and helps transform their lives. That's meaningful work. And there's nothing better than doing a good job at meaningful work. Jesus did a good job doing meaningful work. And I think it's interesting when John the Baptist asked you, are you the Messiah? What did Jesus say? He said, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Meaningful work. Bless people's lives. So when Jesus described the judgment, he said we would be judged by whether we had fed the hungry and clothed the naked and visited those who were sick and in prison. And he said, when you didn't do it for the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it to me. When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you were doing it to me. Meaningful work. What is Jesus calling on you to do? Where is he telling you to serve? Listen carefully to him and don't refuse to answer your Lord's call. It will enrich your life. It enriches God, enriches everyone. The people you serve enriches you. Meaningful work. There are people who are Christians here at Westville Road this morning because someone did a simple good deed for them and opened their eyes to the love of God. Where is Jesus calling you to serve? You'll help God accomplish his will. You'll be blessed by your service, and you'll make an eternal difference in the lives of the people who benefit from your service physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I'll close with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, when Paul says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.